If you want to be more involved with the Nonprofit Nook, we now have a Facebook community for listeners where you can help shape the podcast. You can suggest episode topics, answer polls, recommend speakers, and join the conversation with other nonprofit leaders who truly get it. Just search the Nonprofit Nook community on Facebook and request to join. We'd love to have you. Marketing for a nonprofit isn't about selling. It's about messaging. It's how we stay connected with our donors, our volunteers, and the people we serve. It's how we invite new people to become part of our mission. But sometimes it can feel never-ending. There's always another post to write, another story to tell, another update to share. And while I work hard to do all things marketing, there are definitely parts I dread, like creating and scheduling content for social media, or remembering how many times I need to talk about something so people actually hear it. That's where Engie comes in. Engie feels like a marketing partner who really gets me. It helps me figure out what to say, when to say it, and how to engage my audience in a way that feels true to my brand. It even helps me write everything in my voice and puts it all together in one big calendar so I can see how it's all going to play out. I can track what's working, plan what's next, and actually feel confident about my marketing. And I love the extras, like the monthly group coaching calls with experts, the simple social media scheduler, and the AI blog writer that makes creating content so much easier. So if you're ready for marketing to finally make sense, check out the link in the show notes. Trust me, you're going to love it. Welcome to the Nonprofit Nook, the podcast for nonprofit leaders, board members, and community changemakers who want to build stronger, smarter organizations. I'm your host, Wendy Kidd, a longtime business owner and nonprofit leader, and I'm here to bring you real talk, real tools, and real stories to help you thrive in the nonprofit world. I'll be talking with local nonprofit leaders, community changemakers, and experts in everything from board development to fundraising and digital tools, sharing real stories and simple strategies you can actually use. Because running a nonprofit is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Nonprofit Nook, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with Robin Minnick. Robin is a seasoned attorney, nonprofit leader, and passionate community advocate. With over two decades of experience in real estate law and strategic leadership, she's an attorney with Wright Law and Our Community Law, and she also teaches at the UNT Dallas College of Law. Robin is actively involved in tackling homelessness in North Texas through her work with the Housing Forward and other community-focused organizations. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So happy to have you.
Thanks.
Yeah. We've run into each other a few times, and I was so grateful when you agreed to be on the show because
well,
I was like,
oh
my gosh, she could talk about all the things.
All the things.
All the things. So, yeah. So I want to dive right in. So I wanted to ask you, what are the most common reasons nonprofits need a lawyer? Like what causes them to reach out to a law firm?
Well, most of the time they reach out because something has gone wrong. And that is the main reason that nonprofits need lawyers to begin with, so that you can plan ahead and fix problems before they become problems. Once you're in the crisis management mode, then it's a lot harder to deal with some of those things and it can be more expensive. So if you do some preventative work, that helps.
What kind of preventative work do you like people to reach out to you at first? And what's kind of the life cycle of when they should start reaching out to a lawyer?
Absolutely. You know, there are some really basic things that you can set yourself up with. First of all, make sure you've done your creation of your entity, the formation of the whole nonprofit corporation with both the state, and then filing your 1023 application with the IRS. Then you also need to get with the state a sales tax exemption. And that's another step that you have to take. But if you call a lawyer will help you to go, now don't forget to file for your EIN. Don't forget to call the comptroller about the sales tax exemption, you know, and they can walk you through things that you don't have to spend a lot of time researching or chat GPTing, right? The other thing is, you know, think about whether or not you are going to have third-party contracts. If you are, Most lawyers can give you a pretty simple form that you can use to work with other people. You may need to hire a third-party accountant or a bookkeeper or somebody like that. Really easy, and it prevents problems later. Contracts don't have to be long and difficult, but things need to be in writing. I get calls all the time, you know, well, we talked about this and he said and she said, and I'm like, I can't help you because there's nothing written. So that prevents a lot of problems if you can just put some things in writing, you know, and then be sure that your bylaws are done and that your bylaws are complete and that you're following those bylaws, right? And if you can talk with a lawyer ahead of time when you're setting everything up, then the lawyer can tell you, this is what your bylaws say. This is what you need to do. These are the times you need to have meetings. You know, those sorts of things are very basic, but they make all the difference when it's going forward. The other thing I tell people is train your board. Get your board trained at the very beginning. And if you get your board set up correctly and trained correctly, then you are starting off with a culture of knowledge, a culture of comfort, and a culture of transparency that doesn't come naturally. That is not a natural thing for board members. So get them trained. And there are lots of places to do that for free where you can get online and find some board training. But, you know, don't say, oh, well, these people have been on boards before. Well, first of all, you're assuming that they have. And second of all, you know, they haven't necessarily been trained to be a nonprofit board member. And it's important. There are legal obligations that need to be paid attention to.
With all that you just said, of all the things that they should be doing, what kind of phone calls do you get when they haven't done that? What are these kind of crises situations that people get themselves into?
You know, I signed a contract with these guys, but it didn't have a termination clause, and now I want to terminate it. What do I do? Well, good question. And a lot of times my recommendation is you need to go to negotiate an exit. Because you're not going to be able to just terminate it because there's no room for that in the contract. You know, I get a lot of HR questions. I need to fire this person, but we've never written her up and we've never, you know, done any kind of conversation and I just want to fire them now. Okay, well, let's back up and think about those things, you know, because that can be really dangerous, right? People say all the time, oh, well, if you're working for a nonprofit, you're just a good person. And I'm like, well, yeah, they may be the nicest people in the world, but it doesn't mean they're not going to sue you if you fire them. So you need to handle this correctly, right? And you are an operating business, and an operating business has obligations around employees. So don't skip over that. And that's another place that you can start in the beginning. Get an employee handbook, even if it's 5 pages. Like, it does not have to be hard, but make some basic statements about what your corporate culture is going to be like. And that way, you've already given employees notice, if you do X, I am not going to keep you employed here. And then the other thing is boards. You've got an errant board member, somebody's not showing up, somebody's being a jerk in the meetings, you know, lots of things around board governance and just basically board culture. You know, why is this person doing this? Can he do this? Can she come to us with this? And, you know, most of the time there's a path through it. But if you don't understand your bylaws up front, then, you know, you're not equipped to deal with the conflicts that can come up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've heard some horror stories about board meetings. So
yes,
I've been fortunate. I've not had too many. But some of the ones that I've heard, I'm like, yeah, a lawyer needs to be involved in that. That is definitely a lawyer situation. Please call somebody. So when they're first starting, I know budget is always the problem, right? Like, how do I afford a lawyer? I can't afford a lawyer to do all these things for me. What would you suggest is like the most important things that they really need to talk to a lawyer with? What's the priority there?
Well, if you're just starting out, obviously making sure that all your formation stuff is done correctly. And you can do a lot of it yourself, but I would have a lawyer look over it. Even if it's just 15 minutes of their time, have them look over it because you may miss something that then you're going to have to start all over. Or because it's $600 to file with the IRS. So it's not like you can just, you know, keep doing that over and over and over. Without a lot of significant expense. But if you can get somebody to look at it up front, that's a much better way to play. And then that's also getting your structure right, right? That's also getting the bylaws put together in the right way, the upfront consents that you need to do, the approvals, getting your board together, and making sure that they understand all of that. And then you can do some basic policies, sort of like the handbook I was talking about. It does not have to be fancy, and it doesn't have to be formal. Just put it down and make sure that your board says, these are our policies. We're not going to be, you know, we're going to treat whistleblowers the right way. We're going to deal with conflicts the right way. You know, this is our financial policy. Only this person can sign checks. You know, just basic kinds of things that you can put in place that are really easy. And again, if you have a lawyer look at it, just briefly, and say, look, I don't need a whole lot right now, but what do I need? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, again, write things down. You know, if you have an agreement with somebody, write it down and make everybody sign it. It may not be the most beautiful agreement in the world, but at least somebody has signed it. Even if it's just, you know, we always used to laugh about, you know, backs of napkins transactions, but those are enforceable, right? If everybody's signing them, then it's a piece of paper that you have. So it's a basic protection and understanding where your risk is, which is you're going to spend a bunch of money to try to make up this organization and get it its 501c3 status. Make sure you have a calendar for what things need to be filed. Make sure you know when your board meetings need to be had.
Yes.
Get everybody to read the bylaws, you know, just some basic things that you can protect yourself going forward. And then as you grow and scale, you can make some of those a little bit more formal. And and you're going to need them to be formal if you have more employees, if you have more contracts, if you're doing bigger events, whatever you got going on. So I think those are kind of the basic things about what's your risk analysis.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say is something that, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh, there's so many things to do, what would be like the first thing you'd recommend they do? What's something they can take away, you know, just this month? What can you do this month to reduce risk for your nonprofit?
So there's a really easy thing to do. And, you know, I'm sure there's some forms online for it or whatever, but do an operational assessment. Do I have all of my documents? Do I know what they say? Do I have the bylaws? Do I have my 1023 or my IRS designation letter? What written contracts do I need? Do I have written contracts? And do I have relationships that might require a written contract? How many employees do I have? Does that mean that I'm over the FMLA limit? Because most people don't know that there's a limit, or under that limit, you don't need it. Do I have insurance, and do I have the right kinds of insurance? And that's a really good one as well, where you can go to an insurance broker that does nonprofits and say, what kind of insurance do I need? These are my activities. Yes. And that's free. That's a free assessment of what you have and what your risks are, right?
Yeah.
And a good one will spend a lot of time with you, probably give you some policies to adopt, a whole bunch of stuff. I completely love the whole context of using a broker as an information source for what you're doing in your organization. But it's really doing a health check of your organization. Do I have these things? And if I don't have these things, how am I going to get them? And do I need them sooner rather than later? If I have an event coming up, I probably need to understand what my written contracts say, or get somebody to tell me about that. So it's really about going through and just thinking about all the parts of your organization: employment, documentation for the three bylaws, a conflict of interest policy. What other policies do I need? Insurance. You know, it's really doing that risk assessment of how healthy am I from a risk perspective.
I love that, because risk is what it's all about. And, you know, that's the whole purpose of talking to a lawyer, also in talking to an insurance agent. I also encourage people to talk to their bankers, because bankers have a really good idea on financial policies.
Yes, absolutely.
There's some really great free resources to prevent some issues. What should people look for in a lawyer too, though? Because I feel like so many people are like, oh, I have a friend. He's also an attorney. And I've seen some interesting bylaws happen in that kind of conversation. So tell us a little bit about how you would go about finding an attorney.
Well, for me, it's first of all about transparency. You want to understand what you're going to pay. Second of all, Do they have experience in nonprofits? I mean, this is the problem with people using people on their board as their lawyer, which A, is not best practice. And B, if I always look at people when I'm doing board trainings and saying, okay, let's say this guy's a lawyer, his firm, he passes it off to somebody in his firm, but you don't like what they're doing. You're not getting the results that you want. So you're going to want to fire the law firm that your board member is a part of. That's a really uncomfortable place for everybody, especially if this guy, and it might be a lawyer, it might be an accountant, it might be whatever, this person is making donations to your organization. Yeah. You know, do you really want to lose that donor? And again, the role of the lawyer on a board is not to represent the organization. It's to give you background and capability to deal with situations as a board, not as a lawyer,
as a board. I'm so glad you said this, because so many people are taught and they hear that they should go get an attorney to be on their board. Uh-huh. And it is not that. You're exactly right. It is not that you want them to be your attorney.
No.
It is that you want somebody to educate you uh-huh. on best practices.
Right.
And advise you on when it's time to go hire an attorney.
Absolutely.
And maybe even help go find the attorney for you.
Right. No, absolutely. They should be able to go find someone for you. And if they're willing to do some stuff and they give it to an associate, the associate may not have any idea what to do with a nonprofit. And so you're getting not great help. And as they say, you get what you pay for, right? Same thing with friends. Yep. Is your friend a lawyer? Yes. But if they're a criminal tax lawyer, they're not going to know anything about nonprofits and cannot really help you in managing the issues that you're going to have. So having a lawyer on your board is great, but it really should not be the lawyer that you're using.
Right.
So that's a really important piece of how do you go look for a lawyer? Well, if you have a friend that's a lawyer, ask them, how do I find a lawyer? What is the best group that you know of that has nonprofit experience? Where can I go to maybe get some, you know, discounted help? You know, those kinds of things. There's all kinds of resources out there where you don't have to pay full price, but, you know, it's not free and you are getting competent counsel, not just a lawyer.
Well, you know, goes back to the whole, you get what you pay for. If you are getting a free lawyer, what you're getting may not be worth anything.
Exactly.
Exactly. That, but
and I've seen it happen
exactly
so many times.
What you would have gotten from AI.
Like you might as well just go use chat and move on, you know?
Yep.
So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, so I've asked you all this, but I really want you also talk about your services, because I love the subscription idea that you are hanging out on right now. And so tell us more about this.
Sure. So we formed our community law about a year ago after we ran a pilot program with the United Way, which was a booming success, basically around how do you use legal services to build capacity in nonprofits, which, you know, for me is like, well, duh. But, you know, a lot of people don't really understand how that relates and what I can do for an organization. So we finally decided that we wanted to find something that made it both affordable and predictable for nonprofits to call a lawyer. So the best way to do that for predictability is not bill by the hour. So if you bill by the hour, you don't know how much it's going to be.
Exactly.
You can't say, you know, yes, I'm a $350 an hour lawyer, but I don't know how much you're going to end up paying me. So we wanted to make it predictable. And the way to do that is to have a monthly fee. So for a monthly fee, I will be your general counsel. And that means no limit on hours. I do everything from HR to independent contractor agreements to helping try to negotiate something that got messed up to, you know, just the basic governance stuff. And also, don't do litigation, but I will also help you find someone if you need it. And it's my job to keep you out of litigation. So hopefully that's never even an issue, right? If we do things right ahead of time. So then we also do flat fee services. So if you want to become a nonprofit, you want to form one, then we will do a flat fee that will allow you to form your entity in Texas or wherever you want to do it. I can do it all over the country, and file your 1023 application. And then I will also give you a set of bylaws and an organizational consent and a couple of policies. So it's a real package that gets you to where, you know, you can start functioning as an organization. We're also doing fiscal sponsorship because a lot of organizations, when they first start up, they've already got donors, but you can't give a donor a tax deduction letter until you actually have your 501c3. So we can be your fiscal sponsor and hand out those letters to donors on your behalf. And we get a little fee off of it, but it's tiny. But it allows you to go ahead and go to some of these foundations and say, yep, I'm ready for the money. Bring it. So
that's amazing.
Yes.
I wouldn't have even thought about that. I love that so much.
It's really, you know, there used to be a lot of foundations that would do it. And there are very, very few. And, you know, some of them even, you know, they won't even do it for less than $500,000. So, you know, that's not typically the tiny nonprofit starting out. That's not going to be their budget. And they're not going to have an endowment. And they're not going to. So, you know. Yeah. So the little guy needs something.
What should they budget for a lawyer? What, you know, I don't know. I know you can't give a price based on anything unless you have more details about the situation. But what should nonprofits be looking to budget annually for lawyer fees?
Well, for our community law, if you're a 990 postcard filer, I'll be your general counsel for $250 a month. So
that's awesome.
That would be your budget, you know, 12 months of $250 a month. If you're an easy filer, I'll charge you $500. Still very reasonable fee and it's predictable. That's what you pay. There's nothing else. There will never be an hourly charge on your bill. If you're a regular 990 filer, then we kind of negotiate it based on what kind of revenues do you have? What are your needs? How often do you think you'll use us? You know, do you have real estate that needs to be addressed? Some of those kinds of things are just part of what goes into the decision. But generally, we reach those agreements with people and everybody's happy about it because it's a very transparent process. It's a conversation because the biggest thing about this is most lawyers are transactional. That's what they do is transactions with their clients. Yeah. We want to be relational. And if you have a general counsel, somebody that acts on your behalf and you have them in-house, for example, they are your lawyer. They're not anybody else's lawyer, right? And so we're sort of fractional GC, but that really means that I want to have a relationship with my client. I want to know what's happening all the time. And it doesn't take much. I mean, I can go on your website and check it out too, but I want to have conversations so that I understand what your needs are, what's coming up. We should prepare. I was just on the phone with a client a minute ago and we were talking about something that's not happening for 6 months, but we're going to go ahead and start working on that so that we're not, you know, screaming to the finish line in 6 months.
I love that intentionality. That just makes me happy.
It makes everybody's life easier, you know?
It really does. It really does. And I bet because they've been in touch with you and relational, they knew it was coming. They knew they could start earlier versus finding out last minute and then be like, hey, Robin, can you come fix this?
Yes.
So I love this whole process that you're doing because, I mean, I've had to hire lawyers before and it's always transactional, like you said. I always feel like I have no idea what I'm going to spend. And they're always saying, you know, well, I can't tell you because they don't know how long. It's like, well, why can't we just do this?
Yes.
So I hope this catches on with more lawyers.
Well, you know,
nonprofits.
Some of it also is people not asking for it, right?
Yeah.
So you can go into a law firm and say, I am not paying more than X dollars. This is what I need to have done. What can you do? And will you accept that flat fee? And if they don't, go find somebody else. Like, this is really not hard, you know, because you can shop lawyers all day long and you might probably find one that might do it for a flat fee. Now, it might be a little more than you wanted, but at least you have a predictable cost there. Now,
yeah,
that's probably more of a transactional situation. But in terms of what the person needs that's looking for that kind of fee structure, but it's very common with nonprofits. They're like, oh, we've got to get somebody to do this, but, you know, it's going to cost us X, Y, or Z an hour. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to do that. Tell them that you're not paying more than X. Flat fee.
I love this.
So, you know.
See, this is why I need you in my life, Robin. I love this. I love this so much. What other tidbits can you tell us about working with lawyers?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's not go down that path, shall we? We have a bad enough reputation as it is.
I'm like, this is where we're going to get the real dirt. Well, great. Well, is there anything else that you feel like you want to make sure people hear from you on? Like, what else do you, what's like the most common questions you get? Is there anything else that you want to just be like, guys, I really wish you knew this?
Yeah. You know, first of all, don't panic. Most things are fixable. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be, it feels like a crisis when you're in it. But if you talk to someone, because you don't have the knowledge base, if you talk to someone that knows what they're talking about, then you can get some comfort around that. And, you know, you don't have to panic. Call someone and make that happen. You know, and the small steps we were talking about prevent so many bigger problems later. Like just having a basic set of policies is huge. It's just huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, most of it is, and start with filling in your highest risk gaps first. Figure out, mm-hmm. do that health check. Figure out mm-hmm. what needs to be done. And start with the highest priority things. And then, like I said, most of it's fixable. It's just about, you know, sitting down with someone and telling them your problem and moving through it with some level of confidence.
Yeah. And I think that what I want to say to compliment that is don't be afraid to call a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to hurt you.
No, they aren't. And people are terrified.
Here to help.
Yeah.
They
and
are.
People are terrified. But, you know, most lawyers will at least talk to you without charging something. And then if you decide to move forward with a relationship, the engagement, then, you know, work through that then. But at least you can get some upfront, oh, that's a real problem. Or, no, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love this. Thank you so much, Robin. We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
And I say we because everybody's got to appreciate this. I really, I can't imagine that they're not going to appreciate this episode.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. Well, thanks everybody for joining us and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Nook. We're building better nonprofits together. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with other nonprofit leaders who need support. Follow the Nonprofit Nook on social media and sign up for our email list for extra tips and updates. You can also visit thenonprofitnook.com to see the show notes and leave a comment telling me what topics you want next. Your feedback shapes the show. See you next time.